We are at the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. Chapter 17 is called The Descent of the River Ganges. So, this is a nice, interesting part. I just thought it's something like like Vyasadeva's Facebook timeline. He's recording some nice prayers. He's recording his impressions from different parts of the universe, and he's reporting some famous quotes. So these are his reports from the surrounding planets, which maybe we do not have the opportunity to visit easily in this time, this age. Previously, when the people were more mystically and spiritually advanced, people could travel easily between these planets. You know that even the Pandavas, they were ruling also over these neighbor Varshas, but even then, some parts. There is a description how Arjuna came to get the loyalty or to assert the power of Yudhishthir over some Varsha. I think it was Uttarakuru Varsha, behind the Himalayas. The transition is somehow through the Himalayas possible. So the Mahabharata describes how the rulers from Uttarakuru came to that passage. They brought gifts, they brought tax, and they said, "We accept you as our rulers, accept you as our superiors. So here's the tax, here's the gift, please take it, but please don't come in." Because this is it's a different Varsha, different, we would say different planet. So,
why did that?
Because already the time has changed, and already people are very much different. So, okay, Arjuna might have been able to go, but Arjuna was going with many soldiers, and they would probably not be qualified for such a travel. Okay. So this is the reason Prabhupada writes the book. We have this far out little book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Yes? So what's the easy journey? Easy journey is that you do the appropriate worship, and then next life you're easily already on the other planet which you worshipped. So text 15, right? These are prose texts. We did Om Namo Bhagavate, right?
No? Yes. Prose.
Okay, so text 15. Ilavrite tu Bhagavan Bhava Eka Eva Pumanna Hyanya Satra Paronir Vishati Bhavanya Shapanimitta Gyo Yat Pravekshata Sri Bhavas Tat Pashtad Vakshami. Shukadeva Goswami said, in the tract of land known as Ilavrita Varsha, the only male person is Lord Shiva, the most powerful demigod. Goddess Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva, does not like any man to enter that land. If any foolish man dares to do so, she immediately turns him into a woman. I shall explain this later in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sounds like a dreamland for those, what they call it, transgender. Huh? He was really trying to find it. Oh, really? There is a land like this? How do you get there? So, how it happened in the ninth canto, was, if you may remember, that they had some romantic moment between Shiva and Parvati, and then all of a sudden a delegation of sages came. And they saw, we came at the wrong moment. They have some, you know, very romantic moment. And Parvati then asked Lord Shiva that, okay, whoever comes here immediately becomes a woman. So then there are big, you know, like there's a minefield and there is a barbed wire and big signs. Danger, minefield, you know. So all the men are warned, be careful. If you want to be a man, don't enter now. Described. So they say, be careful, we're not going there. Lord Shiva, we'll see him another time, another place. No purport. So we'll read a few more verses. 16. Bhavani natai striganar buddham sahasrae avarodhyamano bhagavatas chatur murter mahapurushasya turiyam tama simmurtim prakritim atmana sankarshana sangyam atma samadhirupena sani dapyaitad abhigranan bhava upadhavati. In Elavrita Varsha, Lord Shiva is always encircled by 10 billion maidservants of Goddess Durga who minister to him. The quadruple expansion of the Supreme Lord is composed of Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Sankarsana. So the third canto connects these three aspects of God with different aspects of this creation. So Sankarsan, the fourth expansion, is certainly transcendental. But because his activities of destruction in the material world are in the mode of ignorance, he is known as Tamasi, the Lord's form in the mode of ignorance. Lord Shiva knows that Sankarsan is the original cause of his own existence, and thus he always meditates upon him in trance by chanting the following mantra. Sometimes we see a picture of Lord Shiva engaged in meditation. Have you seen a picture of Lord Shiva in meditation? We have also, it was a favorite picture of Brahma Muhurta, the North European BBT chief. We had Lord Shiva in a very mystical mountain setting, absorbed in meditation. He liked this picture a lot. I think I know where this picture is. This picture is in Neuruppin, Germany. I think it was given as a present, the original. I was present when it was made, this picture. I think it was made by, if I remember correctly, by Dina Bandu, an artist from Ukraine, who may also decorated the New Zealand temple. last year I saw this. I was invited. I was invited to the house of Bhagavad Dharma Prabhu and Shamnam Mataji for lunch. And there I saw, there's this picture. And because it's a very nice picture. I think they have this on the German Ishupanishad or some book on the cover. This their house is like a museum. They keep many very highly spiritualized items from Shachinanda Maharaj. So Shachinanda Maharaj, he has something like piece of cloth of Nityananda, or piece of stick of some other associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, there is some associate who would just strike somebody with a stick and you would become perfect in Krishna consciousness. You would get total self-realization. Jai Mangala. Paramount, you know, they speak about Zen masters, that they sometimes startle the disciple and hit him and then he gets realization. So Jai Mangala was doing something similar. So he has some of these very amazing items there. So, yes, sometimes we see a picture of Lord Shiva engaged in meditation. This verse explains that Lord Shiva is always meditating upon Lord Sankarshan in trance. So this is the particular form of God he meditates upon. Lord Shiva is in charge of the destruction of the material world. Lord Brahma creates the material world, more appropriately like engineers. So like the construction, like we have the construction right over there. So it's like the chief of the construction, some chief engineer who is in charge of this construction. So he's not like creating completely out of thin air. Thin air is already too dense. It's not thin enough. Actually, it's mahatattva. It's much thinner from consciousness they create. So Lord Brahma creates. Lord Brahma creates the material world. Lord Vishnu maintains it. And Lord Shiva destroys it. Lord Shiva destroys it. So Slovenia is famous. He has even on its flag, her flag. Slovenia is she, no? Slovenia even has on her flag Triglav. And some people say Triglav is connected to Trimurti. And Trimurti is Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu. So this is ancient connection. The very culture. Because destruction is in the mode of ignorance, Lord Shiva and his worshipable deity Sankarshan are technically called Tamasi. Tamasi, we have this tama in the exact word in Croatian, right? Tama. And in Slovenian, how does it? Tema. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of Tamagun. Since both Lord Shiva and Sankarshan are always enlightened and situated in the transcendental position, they have nothing to do with the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But because their activities involve them with the mode of ignorance, they are sometimes called tamasi. And then we have the mantras. So Bhagavatam is a perfect manual for the journey back home, back to Godhead. And this journey can be done in different ways. So if one is serious, if one learns to see everything connected to Krishna at all times, and therefore to do everything for the Lord. So as devotional service to the Lord, as loving service to the Lord. So if you learn to do this like this, to see Krishna everywhere at all times and do everything for Krishna's service, then it's the easy journey to the other planet of Goloka Vrindavan. It's the easy journey, just straight out, straight to the top, straight to the supreme world, to the supreme planet of the spiritual world. So that's pure bhakti. And then there is somewhat mixed bhakti yoga, where a devotee understands, yeah, that sounds proper, the supreme planet of the spiritual world, yeah, Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna Loka, that sounds correct. Yeah, I think I want to go there. And so, bhakti is good, love for Krishna is good. Okay, so I will gradually try to elevate myself through karma yoga, then jnana yoga, yoga of knowledge. Then I will become qualified for yoga of loving service for Krishna. So in other words, this person, such a person doesn't have full trust in bhakti yoga, doesn't trust bhakti yoga to commit to dedicate ourselves completely to bhakti yoga now. So either no trust, or what's connected also no knowledge, no understanding. Because if you understand how it works, then you have trust, right? Trust is connected to knowledge. Yeah? If whom do you trust? Somebody you know, right? And if you know somebody well, you trust this person. Even if the person is not very trustworthy, then you know how much you can trust, and still you trust to the extent he can be trusted, right? So trust and knowledge and faith are very much connected. Also, knowledge is very much connected with faith. So faith is created by knowledge, and faith creates knowledge. Proper faith. As this famous YouTube video of Carl Gustav Jung. Somebody said that 20th century was Freudian, 21st century is Jungian. Because Jung was speaking. So Jung is asked, this video is there on YouTube, so Jung was asked, so sir, do you believe in God? And he speaks in English. It's, I don't know, BBC or some forgot which. Do you believe in God? He said, believe in God? No, of course I don't believe in God. I know that God exists. It's not a question of belief, it's a question of knowledge. What's there to believe or not believe? He's there. I know he's there. So that sounds quite very much in line with what Prabhupada is saying. That it's not a question of just I believe. No, it's the question of knowledge. Oh God. So the person who doesn't have full trust in bhakti, they will also advance, but they will not go straight to the spiritual world. They will probably go first to some higher planets. They will not go to the heavenly planets where you enjoy, to Svarga. They will go to the planets of sages, where you are not just enjoying, you are merged with bliss. It's much better than enjoying. Much higher than enjoying. That's the planets of sages. And then from there, they will have good Bhagavatam classes, you know, and they will discuss Krishna. And so normally they will continue on to go out to the spiritual world. Every time you hear some description of Brahmaloka or something, what they do, they discuss some topic from the Bhagavatam. Yes. What about Jnana Yoga? No, Bhakti. And how do you compare Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga? What's the comparison? So they discuss these topics. And then there is a very culture elevator, which gradually brings people up, regardless of their faith. So that takes long time. So this is Varnashrama, Dharma. Elevating a person gradually. Yesterday I was re-listening one class by Garuda Prabhu. So Garuda Prabhu, he's the one who published his Bhagavad Gita translation, nice Bhagavad Gita translation. Dr. Graham Schweig. So he is a Harvard professor, actually. So he came to Tatvavid Prabhu was editing his Gita book and some other books also. I think he edited. So I listened to his classes from Sweden and from Radadesh. It's so funny. He has such a sense of humor. So he. Was speaking. It's on ISKCON Desire Tree. My friend alerted me to the hilarious classes he gave recently, so you can find Garuda on ISKCON Desire Tree, Garuda Das group. So in Radadesh, he He says that he spoke recently to a devotee who was discussing his difficulties in family life. And he said, Garuda, Prabhu, I have understood what's the problem with my in my family life. I said, oh, really? What is it? He says, the problem is that my wife is not a Vedic wife. Oh, really? So you understood, yes? Oh, this is very, very advanced realization. Very nice. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Yes, you can ask me a question. I can explain very good. Probably you will see how it all fits in, how everything makes sense. He says, are you a Vedic husband? Oh, hmm. Oh, hmm. So, he says, Garuda Prabhu says that he, his wife is probably, she actually earns more, she works, she earns more than him, and she's probably even more advanced in spiritual life, most probably. She's very serious about her practice, chanting and everything, you know, japa. So, and now the problem is her not being a Vedic wife. So, Garuda Prabhu makes the point that Varnashram Dharma is always secondary for devotees. That we certainly take whatever is helpful from the Vedic culture, but it's not primary. It's not the main point. We are not Vedic sannyasis and Vedic, he says, if you, Vedic brahmacharis, how did he say? If you find me a Vedic sannyasi, what did he say? A Vedic sannyasi, grihasta, or a brahmachari, I will eat my beet back. We are devotional, you know, that's the main point. And that's also the only way how such things can have some effect, how it can work. Devotion is on the first place, serving Krishna is on the first place, and only by the strength of this, by the strength of some awakening of our spiritual advancement, can we even do all the other duties as a grihastha or as a brahmachari, as a sannyasi, and so forth. Not to speak about brahmana, kshatriya, and other varnas. So these are different ways to. So if one advances through the classic varnashrama dharma, which nowadays is very unlikely, this. Because even in the Vedic age, it would take thousands of births, thousands of lives. Thousands of lives to go through, one few lives as a Shudra worker who doesn't take any, who is afraid of any responsibility, who is afraid of any decisions, who is afraid of any initiative. Yes, then he, after some births like this, through some spiritual touch, he grows enough to finally be able to take some initiative, take some responsibility, put some trust in God, and he becomes a small-time Vaishya, meaning, he gets. So you have three types of Vaishya: yeah? Those who do money business, those who buy and sell. And finance, those who grow grain, and those who have cows, and right, three main engagements. So in all of them, you need some trust in God. You know, like in springtime, you take some grains. Right. And you throw these grains in dirt. You know, throw these grains into dirt. And you trust that in autumn they will grow. By autumn they will grow. And there will be not too much rain, not too little rain. Not too much sun, not too little sun. Yeah, not too much pests, insects or whatever. And too much, like yesterday we were in, my phone says it was Tabor. I don't know, but they said Krvavica. There's a funny mountain called Krvavica. And I asked, what do you have there? There was a piece fenced off. There was like a field and forest around, and there is a small plot fenced off. Understand? Fenced off? Surrounded by some fence, wall. I said, who do, and it looked like, I don't know, cow pen or corral. You know, corral, these American cow or buffalo spaces. So I said, who do you keep there? And they say, oh, to je zazelenjavo. To je za. What it runs away or something? You know, this you keep it fenced around so it doesn't run away or what? I said, no, serne, prihaj. Deer come and eat. So you cannot be sure. Okay, maybe deer. So sometimes you plant, you invest 2 months of work, and then a boar comes and eats all of it. No. So 2 months. So you have to be intelligent. So it's actually a farmer. It requires high intelligence to be a farmer. It's a big mistake some devotees make. They think it requires no intelligence. Just go on land and sit on land, and that's it. No, it's very high. It requires high intelligence. Being smart. And then taking care and trusting. Money, the same thing. Any business requires trust. I mean, the whole system, both nowadays, and we say, okay, nowadays money system is fiduciary, means on fido, on credit, on faith. Fiduciarna, I think they call it like this, means based on faith. And even in the shop, you know, they trust you that you will, any shop, you know, they trust that you take the thing and you will not run away with it. Because you can. Maybe not like everybody, but the first 10 can grab and run. Okay, then it will be a different system. Then it will be like the old, you know, I don't know how, you know, the old communist type of shop where, you know, there is the... buyers and everything is far behind. I don't know. So still trust, everywhere there is trust. What to speak about expansion, or what to speak about investment? It's all based on trust and trust in God. And then kshatriya, even more faith is required. Intelligence, that to be, it's not only even vaishya also requires not only intelligence, but even more importantly, what they call nowadays the emotional intelligence, ability to understand people. This is something you will see in India, that even small children learn when they... sometimes you see that in some shops, the parents will let the child sell something what they have in shop. Have you been sold something in Vrindavan by a child? Have you? Yeah? At least fruits, you know, on the street. But also in the shop, they will have... And you can see, you can already see that they have different degrees of development. So some child will just, I mean, starting, what was the youngest? The youngest salesman that I ever, or girl. Yeah, the girl, I think, 8 years, 7 years, yes, was there. That they sold me something. And boys, yeah, something like that. I don't think six. Six is, well, I'm not. I'm no expert on this. But you can also see that they are different. That some will come And they will try, they will set a higher price. They see, oh, the guy is white. That means money. That means money. Okay, let's hike the price. And, you know, you're not happy, especially if you know the price. It doesn't sound very happy. But some, you will see, they will come and they will actually try to not see beyond the skin. They will try to sort of understand who you are. They sort of really try to individually understand how you feel and relate to you as a person. And if they see, oh, this is an ISKCON Brahmachari, oh, he likes to haggle. He always likes to get the best, the cheapest deal. So he'll say, oh, you see, the price is 40 rupees, so for you I will sell it for 31. Just to, you know, I'll sell it, okay, 30. 30, I'll sell it for you, 29 rupees. And you, and I feel, you know, if he does it, I feel I should come to this shop every time. Sometimes I do, you know. I have 20 shops right next to my temple, but I will go 3 kilometers to his shop because he's a good guy. He gives me, you know, always 25% discount. So, and I've seen small children do this. So you can see he's already trying to create relationships. He already trying to, he understands that I will earn 100 times more on a steady relationship. If this person likes our shop, I will earn 100 times more than if I sell him one time something for a big price. And so relationship is much more important. There's one famous guy, Gary Vaynerchuk, who says, nowadays the whole world has returned to the type of village relationships. Like in a village, you know, if people live in a village or on a village street, then everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody. And so you could cheat, but no more than one or two times. If you sell substandard things, you're finished. If you have bad relationships, you're finished. One or two times, you're done. Nobody will ever come to you again. And so he says, nowadays, this is a thank you economy, and it's, again, super important how you treat the customers, what are the relationships. And we know, I remember in the 90s, Rohini Sudha Prabhu was coming to give seminars warning us against burning people, saying don't just try to sell books by any cost. You will burn people. Maybe you'll sell one book, but then you will not be able to sell any book for 20 years after that, or 30 years. He says, I'm seeing you're doing all the same mistakes we did in America and we did in some places in Europe. So I remember that Slovenia was always very careful, I was told that the whole country was divided into areas, and devotees would not go to the same area until 2 years later, because if you know, even a good person, you come, you approach this person one time, he refuses, it's okay. Two times, even he buys something, but if you keep coming to the same person every day, every few days, even a very good person will become fried. He said, come on guys, you're crazy, you know, leave me alone. And nowadays they will not just say it, they will write it on Facebook. And everybody will know that. And this sometimes this can destroy the preaching for a long time ahead. So there's a whole it's an important topic about relationships. So there are many famous stories about treatment of customers. There was a guy who was flying on an airline with a guitar, And then they didn't let him take his guitar into the cabin. And then they trashed his guitar when it was given in the check-in luggage. So he went to the airline for a refund, and they refused. So he complained, and they didn't pay any attention. So then he just recorded a song. Okay, he's a singer. Some simple, you know, simple guy with a simple guitar, some country singer. So he just recorded a song that I was flying, I forgot which airline, and something like United Airlines or something. And they trashed my guitar. So his song got millions and millions of everybody was sharing. And so much so that the airline's share started dropping. Everybody started talking how terrible this airline is. So they immediately found him. They bought him 10 guitars. They gave him a few million refund and say, please, you know, do something, stop it. Write another song that he gave you a refund. So there are many stories like this nowadays. Somebody was not happy with the computer, somebody was not happy with something else, and they complained. Nowadays you can do this. You know, some people just, somebody started a website, and everybody has some influence already. So it's growth of faith, it's a growth of skills, it's a growth of intellect, trust in God, but also ability to build human relationships, based all connected also with respect to each other. So that's how one goes from one varna to another, from Shudra to Vaishya to Kshatriya to Brahmana. So Brahmana is supposed to have the highest trust in God. His retirement, his main hope is God. That's his retirement plan. He puts faith in God. He knows God has, like my friend, he was worried about something, and then he said, I just analyzed, was there any time in my life when I was actually hungry, when there was actually for me nothing to eat? And I thought, and I actually couldn't find any time in my life when I was hungry. And then he said, then I thought, then why should I not trust God that he has... It's a very funny thing, you know. For 20, 30, 40 years, he has taken care of us quite nicely. So why would he stop right now? You know, why do we worry so much and don't have trust in him? Why would he stop doing it now? He's taken care so far. So why would he stop? Prabhupada says he takes care of the elephant needs many 30 kilos of food. How many kilos? I don't remember. Some big amount of food every day. You know, the elephant is 2-3 tons. And he's fed every day. He's given enough food. So if he is supplied food, so why wouldn't he give us 1.5 kilo, 1 kilo of food? Every day. Of course, it doesn't mean that we exploit either Krishna or society or others. We also do what depends on us, from us. We try to help Krishna help us. That's certain. We do our duties. But we do this ideally for Krishna's pleasure. So if one just goes through Varnasham, goes through the Karmakanda, goes through the traditional very culture, who actually nobody knows what it was. Who knows what was very culture? It was more than even 5,000 years ago, it was Duryodhana and Jarasandha. It was demons who were following very culture. So what do we know about this very culture? It was just few remnants of very culture. So true very culture, that's millions of years ago, and how much do we know about it? So you know the essence given here in the Bhagavatam, which is bhakti, serving God. So we do that. So in this classic Vedic culture, it would take literally thousands of births, thousands of lives, to go gradually from planet to planet, from level to level, And then if you are steady on this path, then ultimately you would go out. You would go to the spiritual world. But we see that Bhaktisiddhantaji says, finish business in one in this life. Don't drag it out. Finish your business in one life. dedicate one life to Krishna. Just dedicate one life to Krishna. And then you will not have to be born as a prisoner of this material world. And you can go straight to the spiritual world. So you become free. So Bhagavatam here describes these different planets and describes the essence of how, so the fifth canto is sthanam, how Krishna supports this world. So how it is supported, we see that each planet has some deity, has some ruler, has some special person taking care, and how they take care of their kingdom, their planet, their area by bhakti, by worshipping God. It doesn't mean they neglect other aspects of life, but you can see that this is the main part is that's mentioned, that everything is done in terms of bhakti. And then by this, everything is maintained. So much so that all of these other planets are, even in Kali Yuga, they are not experiencing the effects of Kali Yuga. There is no effect of Kali Yuga on these other varshas. They are living like they are called Bhoma Svarga, heavenly planets on the level of Earth. So they live like in Treta Yuga or Satya Yuga. They live like in the conditions that were in the age of complete piety here. Means no trouble whatsoever. No trouble whatsoever. Just complete happiness. So that's the formula. Loving service to Krishna with respectful relationships with others, and that will take care of all the aspects of successful life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Take shelter of their false ego and develop many abilities and have a career and take care of themselves in a manly way. So this is kind of exit for them. So that's the way I see it.
This is kind of
exit for them.
Exit.
Yeah. In this
way out. Solution.
Develop that kind of false ego, it's tapasya to surrender to a man when she's like that already and serve him, which is supposedly be good for her spiritual advancement. But is this also a tapasya for a Vedic woman, for a lady who was conditioned in quite different environment? Is this meant for her to be a tapasya for spiritual development, or is Vedic plan that she is more in touch with her natural background role, or what she is as a woman with her womanly identity, or is also a Vedic woman of false ego, which has to be molded in such, and this is the best way to mold her false ego, to put her in a family serving her husband. Is this also tapasya for her, or is this tapasya only for modern woman, and should this modern woman also go through this tapasya, or is some other way, some in-between way for her spiritual advancement? doctors say you should marry, you should serve husband, but this lady doesn't feel like doing it in such a way, in this Vedic way. So is this tapasya for all women, or what is your experience?
Yeah, I've got plenty of experience in that area, certainly. So I'm eminently qualified to safely dispel all doubts in this area, certainly. The first point I would like to mention is that tapasya is there in everybody's life. There is no class of humans who are exempt from tapasya. Not only that, this is one of the five niyamas or rules in yoga, which Patanjali calls sarvabhaumika, meaning that they are universal, they are for all the human beings, regardless of the country, social strata, or regardless of position, varna, ashram, everybody needs to do some voluntary tapasya, voluntary austerity. So everybody has to do this. So nobody will ever be exempt from tapasya. We see that even people who are in the most materially comfortable situation, they still suffer, and one way or another. And so they still need to learn tapasya. They still need to learn how to advance and burn the negative karma through voluntary austerity. Regarding women in particular, so you can see that in the last few thousand years, it was not traditional for women to undergo an initiation. So a man would not be a man without undergoing an initiation. There had to be a certain process which would turn a boy, a child boy, into a man. And this would always necessitate, so there would be several steps in different cultures. There are always several conditions there. One is separation. The child is separated from the loving care of the mother or of the family, sometimes very violently. In some cultures, he's in the night, he is stolen from the house and carried by some disguised, masked man. So that's another very usual component of initiation: confusion, uncertainty. So the person has to face lack of external psychological support, absence of external psychological support. So he needs to grow, to mature, he needs to find some inner core to find support from. Then another very in most culture, something that will be there. There will be some tests, there will be some tapasya, and in some more simple cultures, there will be just physical pain. And we'll see that in some American Indians, they will literally, tattoos, somebody will, be tattooed in a very painful way, and not even with a needle, but with some knife or something. I think these are some... these are New Zealand or Maori or whatever. So pain would be there, but it was absent, and then several other points, and then the person that some test would be there, and then the man is a man, right? And so they say that the big problem of modern society is that men have no process for doing it. They don't have any process for undergoing such a transformation. So therefore, we end up with 45-year-old boys who are, still dependent very much on... they're frustrated. and certainly everybody around them is also frustrated with them. But it was not there for women traditionally, in the traditional society, because it was considered that the woman would have all these components naturally, already, just by the structure of her life. There would be pain, at least of childbearing, for example. There would be separation. Usually she goes to the husband's family somewhere else, right? There will be certainly some uncertainty. So these things would normally be present naturally already in the wife's life, and they would help the wife to become a woman. The girl to become a woman. But you know, the same people, they say that this was in the previous ages, but now they still need an initiation also. And initiation, you know, we all in our society are very familiar with initiation. We understand, okay, initiation, you come to the fire and you sit in the ritual and you are given a new name, and that's it. You are initiated. But there is more than that. There's more than that. Usually you will see that there is a testing period. There is you do undergo a certain inner struggle. You do undergo a certain crystallization of new identity. And before that, before a new identity of a spiritualist can be crystallized, you need to overcome the old identity of a materialistic bhogi enjoyer. And you can see some places you can see that army people are very disdainful, feel very superior to others because they do have initiation. They do have initiation. Some parts of military, they will have very extremely rigorous, murderous, basically, processes of dismantling the old ego. Like they completely destroy the old ego. But then they build a new ego, the new ego of a very, very resilient, unkillable person. Very sturdy, very, very, very resilient person, survivor. So they feel sometimes very, very superior to others. So it's a whole process, and this is what Prabhupada always emphasizes, that initiation is only the beginning of a process. Initiation is a process. So for us, it's also it's a big process, and it's a science how things are done. So even in the Vedic society, tapasya was there, or in the older times, tapasya was there. Always. That's why you see that, for example, when Gandhari voluntarily puts the blindfold on her eyes, this is seen as a very incredibly impressive act of self-surrender. So she says, I would feel definitely superior to my husband, and that would not be conducive to a harmonious family life. So which sounds certainly logical, you know, if you just take this one line, oh yeah, it sounds logical, reasonable. But then if you imagine living the whole life, it's crazy, you know, who can do this? And who would do this? And of course, it's not also so much, I mean, it's not that it's really required. So it's glorified. So you can see that if you read, for example, Mahabharata or Upanishads, you will find plenty of very strong women who it is very natural. It is actually more natural for a woman to live in a family under the protection of a husband, and therefore the Vedic society would normally find a way to select a husband who would inspire some admiration in the woman, some admiration that okay, that he is superior to me, he's better than myself, which always women try to find, but which is very difficult to do, oftentimes. So, still, you will find many women who are very in fact, self-reliant. Self-reliant are capable of achieving. You have Mahabharata describing some brahmacharinis, some I don't remember if they use the word sannyasini, but it's the and this is not what we also recommend, sannyasini as an ashram, but people who actually live like this as renounced. So we have many stories of this. So even those who are married, you will see that oftentimes they are very complete, very bright personalities. So I saw some review of Mahabharata, and the reviewer was admiring how Mahabharata has such a huge array of such different female characters, each of which is so much different from others, but each of which is a very bright and individual personality. Gandhari, very strong woman, but this type of character. Devahuti, another type of a character. Kunti, another type of a character. So you have yeah, Draupadi, this is the one I wanted to say. Yeah, did I say Devahuti? Yeah, Draupadi. Yeah, Draupadi is the one I wanted to say. Yes. So even though we can say that the family relationships were more healthy, maybe harmonious at that time, Hare Krishna. Thanks for coming. So in that sense, because you could see so many healthy, functional family relationships from childhood, so in that sense it was easier. You didn't have to create from scratch. You had a working model in front of you. Yeah, so it was even without conscious endeavor, oftentimes learned by seeing. You would see your parents, you would see your grandparents, you would see the whole village around you having very, very healthy, functional relationships. And apparently also it was a much psychologically more supporting environment. So apparently there was less trauma, less pain created, which also less, how do you say, accidental pain. Because pain, as tapasya, is always there, but it's supposed to be taken as a voluntary task to learn something, but less injuries, less traumas. So therefore, in that sense, it was easier. Nowadays, how this is to be done? So one thing is clear, that everybody needs a spiritual initiation. We don't have to speculate about this, because Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas have made it very clear. We have Sanatana Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Hari Bhakti Vilas saying that Hari Bhakti Vilas and Narada Pancharatra mentioning that Gopal mantra is a Siddha mantra, and Gopal, that a person who was not born as a Brahmana, a woman, or and a person who is not from the higher levels of Varnashram, all of them can be initiated into the Gopal mantra. They can take the Gopal mantra. And in these tantric traditions, like Narada Pancharatra, a woman not only takes but also gives mantra. It's not something that requires any speculation. It's already there in the Shastra, and it's already there in history and in tradition. In this area. So this is clear. Initiation is for everybody. And initiation is not a one moment, is not a one day event. It's a process. It's a process of building a higher identity of an eternal servant of God. And another thing is that we need to create a very supportive environment that So take the good side of Varnashrama. So what is, that's why Bhaktisiddhantaji coined this term Davi Varnashram. So take these two very nice sides of the really original Varnashram, not the historical Varnashram that we see in the last few thousand years, but the original Varnashram, Davi Varnashram. Two points that Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion. One is cooperation, meaning support, loving, merciful support of everybody. If you have loving support, if respect and mercy are the mottos of our society, it's such a healthy environment. It's such a healthy environment to help everybody. And is one thing. Another thing from Varnashram is be yourself. In other words, take your nature and use it in Krishna service. So whichever nature they have, and if you read Mahabharata, sometimes we complain about modernity. Oh, very crazy world, very crazy phenomena. I am sorry. Have you read Mahabharata? What phenomena can you not find in Mahabharata? Everything, you know, anything and everything you will find in Mahabharata. It's there. And nobody makes a big fuss about it. They just find a place for every person, accommodate every person, and engage them somehow in devotional service. In general, you can see India, of course, there are different aspects of India, but in general, India is very accommodating. This is something that you always feel in India. You just come into India, you feel freedom, land of freedom. Yeah, that you are allowed to be who you are, and you are accepted as you are. And also, you can see in the streets crippled people, you know, blind, the lame, and whatever, or very these super short people, nobody bats an eyelash. They are found, you know, they are some engagement is found for them. They have a husband or a wife, they have children, they have some place, they are productively engaged in the society, and they seem healthy. Even those who are a little crazy, you know, there are, okay, they, some place is found for them. He's a little strange. Okay, so you find some safe engagement for this person. And again, he's supported. It's such a nice atmosphere. Nobody is treated in a very strange way. So I think this is the the way of that's the idea of Varnashram, that unify, harmonize through cooperation, through a common cause. Prabhupada says that if you all remember, we need to please God, and we all have the same center, Krishna. This is one thing. And another thing, this is what Krishna tries to explain to Arjuna in the first six chapters. Don't try to kill your nature, but engage it, use it, use your nature. Then, in karma yoga, offer it to Krishna and use it for pleasing Krishna, and then you will advance in spiritual life. So then, whether man or a woman, whether here or there, then everybody will be able to gradually advance on the path to Krishna consciousness. Whether we have already a society in place which has all the role models, or we don't, still we will be able to advance in Krishna consciousness. Okay, it's 9:15. I think we need to go to the next point. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Vanchakalpa Taribhya Shtava Kripas.